All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, November 10th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is 46 degrees and partly cloudy here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Tuesday? We titled the show Precision Medicine 2016 Election 2995 DNA Swab and Biotech Future. And we've been taking a look at some of the things that have been going on in the big pharma space, some of these crazy things that DARPA has been funding in regards to artificial immune systems, not only for the human body, but for the coming Internet of Things as well. We have postulated on how this is going to affect our future, not only from our health, but to the food we eat. We saw that DARPA had just announced a program, the Proposer's Day, for people who want to be a part of this mad science project is on November 18th in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. And they are looking at finding ways to infect insects with a genetically modified bacteria. So then those insects can be set free on a mature crop, some sort of food source, whether it be wheat or soy or corn. And as those insects nibble on the leaves, they will infect the plant with this genetically modified bacteria that DARPA had infected the insects with, thereby being able to somehow genetically modify these bacterium or viruses or whatever they infected the bugs with, get into the plants, and within a single growing season, able to manipulate the entire population of that crop. We looked at gene drives, technology that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has invested in regards to those Oxitec mosquitoes and some of the other experiments that have been going on from other laboratories, to be able to control and manipulate at a DNA and a cellular level. That's the point we're at right now. And so we just had this 2016 election. You know, I don't know how everybody feels. It's polarized a lot of people. It's done more division than anything I've seen probably over the last 8 or 12 years. Things have been a little messed up. But here we are now with Trump in office. We've talked about Obamacare, electronic medical health records, precision medicine initiative, now this cohort program. We're all supposed to step right up and give our DNA swab to become a part of research and development to help cure all disease and give our information up to the research machine that is being funded by taxpayer dollars through a lot of this Department of Defense DARPA research. It's being sprinkled out at universities and little biotech labs all over the place. And then, whoops, they come up with something. They spin it out into a little IPO. And then they offer a clinical trial. Remember, we discussed that 21st Century Cures Act and being able to move the FDA out of the way because, oh, the FDA hasn't been keeping us safe. There were a bunch of stories we saw about that over the last year or two, how half or more of all the research that's been published is potentially incorrect or has some fraudulent information in it that was never redacted or removed. To really kind of shake the foundations of our belief in that system. So, hey, 21st Century Cures Act, again, all about saving you and me, allowing us to live longer. So the question is, what is the future going to look like now that we have somebody besides Obama? And we've looked as well at all these executive orders that Obama and edicts that Obama has passed over the last just 4 years. the Big Data Initiative and the Precision Medicine Initiative and the Communicable Disease Executive Order. We've had all these things come into play. His big push for artificial intelligence, his speech he gave at Carnegie Mellon University. Carnegie Mellon, a big AI research facility that gets lots and lots of DARPA money. Carnegie Mellon, that happened to win that Mayhem, I think that was the name of their software, that DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge this summer in Nevada. According to Elon Musk, that contest was the beginning of Skynet. So here we are now with the changing the guards. Country that's polarized. I mentioned the other day, it is now open enrollment time for most of us that have a family member or both of the family members that work in the corporate world. This is open enrollment time nationwide, and people are shitting their pants as they are looking at the premium increases that are hitting everyone smack in the middle of the face this year. And we are looking at doubled premiums and deductibles that have gone for some people from zero or a very small amount, $100, to thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. Even if you had a halfway decent job, it's going to be very painful to increase your monthly payout that you hadn't planned on. I mean, we are looking at increases that could potentially pay for a new car. I'm driving a 15-year-old vehicle right now. And with the amount of money it's going to cost us for health insurance as of December of 2016 or January, whenever that new plan goes into place, I could be driving a freaking Lexus. Okay, brand spanking new. On a lease, probably. I don't know. I don't price out Lexuses. But I'm just saying, prices have gone off the hook. Middle America is going to be sucked dry. And you want to know something? So I was really getting upset about this at dinner the other day, discussing this with the family. I came to the realization that one of the reasons why these prices have gone so off the hook isn't just about Obamacare, isn't just about the prescription drug plans, isn't just about health care costs going up everywhere. One of the things that we've been noticing, and Obama even said it, is that 21st century medicine and 21st century technology in general, including all the big tech boys, right? We've established that. We pulled them right into the fold. Has become the new economic engine for the country. Except guess what? We are funding the economic engine. The middle class being sucked dry is what is paying for this quote-unquote economic engine that we're not seeing the economic benefits from. We actually got sold as the R&D to the big pharma biotech companies. Their past R&D line item budget that used to cost them hundreds of thousands of millions, if not billions of dollars a year in research and development, and then having to get approval through the FDA, and then having to justify whether or not human experimentation is even warranted, whether or not the benefits outweigh the risks. All that is out a window now. We are at a danger zone. And before the election, we covered a story on Tuesday that had talked about the two candidates' opinions on biotechnology, and it really was kind of an unknown as to how that was going to play out. Hillary Clinton had had her Killary Care way back when that had failed, but you knew Hillary was all in the name of socialized medicine and government oversight, being able to make it a system. that should be affordable for everyone. And all of the upper echelon can support the lower echelon and it'll all be happy. Well, that meant it was going to continue. Obamacare wouldn't be repealed. One of the things Trump had talked about is that if he got into office, he was going to repeal Obamacare, come up with something else. Well, you know, it makes you wonder then how that's going to play out. So as we're looking at these precision medicine initiatives, these economic engines, this All of Us program, it was the formerly National Institute of Health cohort program, Step Right Up, Give Your DNA. We have Obama coming out at Carnegie Mellon saying that his successor will govern a country being transformed by AI. We have the tech big boys already long in the game. Like, this isn't something that is just burgeoning. This is something that's already been moving forward exponentially. The law of exponential returns. And we have seen CFR Charlie Rose and 60 Minutes back a month or so ago roll out how IBM's Watson is working at 20 different oncology hospitals, diagnosing and helping, quote unquote, cure cancer. And now he's gone on. It's, let's not make it a person. It, Watson, has gone on to start learning genomics. We've looked at the implications of that. We've looked at the implications of coupling that with CRISPR and gene drives. And people such as Bill Gates being involved in funding and directing the development of this technology, pushing, identifying, and pushing genetic therapies, all in the name of curing you, all in the name of keeping costs down. I mean, we know it's not keeping costs down because it's bankrupting the middle class. But I'm almost thinking at this point that the setup with what we have right now with Obamacare, with them all getting rich, I mean, they actually came in, they opened the back door, they chucked all the fixtures out. Everybody got rich. Well, now it's time for changing the guard. The next step up, biotechnology, I don't think is going to slow down at all. I think it's going to be sold. These gene therapies are going to be sold. These little nanorobot doctors are going to be sold as a way to be able to provide cost savings to the entire society. There's a new program out from DARPA. Not only to genetically modify plants using little insects that they have infected with some genetically modified bacteria or virus to go infect the plant, but now we also have DARPA looking for somebody to bid on a project that will allow them to put the brakes and potentially even reverse an accidental or intentional gene editing. We looked at this on Tuesday. Drugs that use molecular scissors, and that is CRISPR, to snip out or replace defective genes. Because, of course, that is going to be the way of the future. Altered mosquitoes meant to sabotage entire disease-carrying populations. And that is that gene drive. Both are potential uses of genome editing, which, thanks to CRISPR-Cas9, has spread throughout the world's biology labs and is now on the doorstep of the world outside. And I'm going to tell you, the way that they will justify continuing their investment in these technologies under the new commander-in-chief is going to be because gene editing has been declared a weapon of mass destruction. I have mentioned that story quite a number of times. We had Clapper come out back in February at the annual worldwide threat assessment for the U.S. intelligence community, adding gene editing to a list of threats posed by, quote, weapons of mass destruction and proliferation. You know, it is now a WMD. That means it becomes a matter of national security. That means that agencies such as DARPA have now gotten the green light and a big black hole budget to get themselves involved. Says this idea for the funding program called Safe Genes is to get out ahead of problems that could bring this field to a screeching halt. We should couple innovation with biosecurity, and we need new safety measures that don't slow us down. Safe Genes is meant to fund three areas of research, and we hit this on Tuesday. Techniques that allow gene editors to be switched off and back on again once inside a person or an organism. Ding! I mean, guys, this is not fantasy anymore. I know people laugh every time I say little nanorobot doctors, but I probably have 20 plus stories over the last month or two and all these new little things they're getting ready to start testing. And they all are manipulating our genetic makeup in one way or another. This is going to be not only, as Obama said, his new successor will govern a country being transformed by AI. It's way more than AI. It's all of those disruptive technologies that we've been discussing for the last almost 5 years on the radio. Those technologies, we found something on Tuesday that went all the way back to 2007, where the National Institute of Health handed the reins over to DARPA to start working on biotechnology. I had mentioned a long time ago, but the first time I had ever read about nanotech was at some point in the late 80s, probably 1989 or early 90s, maybe 90 or 91. Cover of Scientific American, this little electron microscope photograph of a molecular machine. We found out that GMOs have actually been stuck on the market without even any consumer knowledge back in the 90s. And Dr. Arnston had been working on genetically modifying foods for edible vaccines, bananas, way back in the 80s even. This has been going on for a very, very long time. So just because there's a changing of the guard, and just because Obama has come out and announced things, and there's been some edicts now, or executive orders, doesn't mean that was just the beginning. It means that we're just really finding out about it, and it's becoming modus operandi. It is being put into the public eye and sold on TV every time you see a commercial. We all now have big cancer research institutes in all of our medium-sized cities, not even large metropolises anymore. And I've even been noticing in the rural communities that used to have these little podunk hospitals that maybe had one T1 line tied to one of the main hospitals, now we actually have the big hospital name as the main overarching health facility that is controlling these little remote locations, which means that they've networked them all together. They've done remote health care, some of that telemedicine stuff that I was talking about way back when that we used to engineer networks for. It's coming, people. They have now spread their wings and gotten into a very, very personal part of our lives. We've looked at wearable computing and how they are going to roll out biosensors as a way to cut down on visits to your doctor's office, to be able to monitor and tell whether or not you are getting ill long before you're getting ill just by taking biometric readings, chemical readings, and making sure you're operating within parameters. And hey, in the not too distant future, if they send a wireless reading back to your little AI doctor that's sitting on a base station right next to your router, and that goes out to the database, says, whoops, Johnny's having a sugar issue. Boop, 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 sends the signal back to Johnny. And Johnny's little nanorobots get to take over and tamp down on his sugar problem. I mean, that is absolutely 100% within the future possibility. I wouldn't even say the next 10 years with the way things are going. We found out then that DARPA back in 2011 built a bioengineering factory. They are utilizing DNA and cells to be able to build new life forms and new therapeutic technologies that would be state of the art. DARPA is sick and tired. This is from June of 2011 out of Wired Magazine. DARPA is sick and tired of waiting around for Mother Nature. That's quite the kicker. Instead, it wants to take the life-making business into its own hands. This is our Department of Defense people, our Pentagon. This title of the story is Pentagon's New Factory, Your DNA. A manufacturer, they want to manufacture new biological forms in a factory of mix and match biobits. A recent call for research by the Pentagon's Mad Science Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, proposed a new program called the Living Foundries. We've talked about Living Foundries before. That now is a part of that BTO, the Biological Technologies Office of DARPA. The idea is to use biology as a manufacturing platform to, quote, enable on-demand production of new and high-value materials, devices, and capabilities, unquote. In other words, let's engineer life to make the stuff that we want. This field of bioengineering and synthetic biology have already produced some useful, scary, and flat-out bizarre entities. Besides renewable petroleum or strong steel spider silk, there are also all sorts of potential therapeutic, industrial, and agricultural purposes for reorganizing DNA. And we just read about that one. That happened to be the insects that they were looking at infecting with some genetically modified or synthetic bacteria or virus to go infect plants. But DARPA thinks progress is too slow. Previous projects, it calls them primitive, are ad hoc and labor-intensive, chugging along by trial and error in secretive silos. Hence, we are limited to producing only a small fraction of the vast number of possible chemicals, materials, and living systems that would be enabled by the ability to truly engineer biology. Ding. And, you know, surely hereafter came that story out of Motherboard that talked about DARPA saying that they were going to terraform Mars. But before they terraform Mars, they were going to use synthetic biology to help cure planet Earth. And in the future, hope to be able to push a button to create life on demand. This is the same technology we're talking about. To jumpstart the process, DARPA wants to open the playing field. And this is when they rolled it all out, 2011, to all the universities and little biotech labs. They want to open the playing field to people from outside the biological sciences, which includes technology vendors. That's why all of our big tech boys are invested in longevity medicine. to recruiting designers, engineers, manufacturers, computer scientists, academics, and anyone else who has some crazy cockamamie idea. I mean, can you even believe this? We have orchestrated our own demise. We have quote-unquote democratized the creation of life. By democratizing the biological design and manufacturing process, they hope to speed up the what? Oh, the destruction of Earth. Yes, no, the development of a reliable factory for all sorts of living things. A living thing factory. One of the specifics that they are looking for, well, modular genetic parts, kind of like Legos for biology, a standardized system of bio units capable of being assembled in any which way, and it would explode the possibilities for producing new materials and systems. Something like this already exists. The Registry of Standard Biological Parts lists thousands of biobricks or DNA modules that control everything from breaking down chemicals to killing off cells. And this is probably that same database that they have since given Watson access to. Expanding this open source synthetic biology catalog could lead to creations that we have only ever dreamed of. And I'm going to add in our wildest nightmares. DARPA is also looking for design tools to help map out individual projects like cell-like systems and chassis to use as a template, new test platforms and DNA assembly techniques, and methods for fine-tuning and debugging. Basically, they want a space for biological innovation limited only by the, quote, creativity of the designer. Yes. Don't worry about the ethics, and don't worry about the dangers, and don't worry about the fact that this is a weapon of mass destruction. Let your crazy imagination go wild and start creating life forms on the fly. Designers have been known to get pretty creative. Oh, look out. So who knows what they could do with DARPA money. And this is what I've been saying, guys. Now here we are 5 years down the road, and it has become a weapon of mass destruction. And at any minute, some typhoid Mary could pass something along to someone else that goes all over, and we don't have brakes to put on that accidental or intentional release. Don't worry, because DARPA, whoops, 5 years down the road, they're going, oh shit, we got a problem, Clyde. We better start funding ways to do rollbacks on DNA. We read the other day that they were also talking about creating a digital, quote-unquote, digital rights management type-esque system for our DNA to be able to lock it down. Just like the old days, man, that floppy disk, and you could break off that little tab so you couldn't accidentally overwrite it. Yep. Well, they're looking to do that for the human genome as well. 2015, talking about putting the brakes on our good old love to hates MIT and Broad Institute. DARPA awards in September of 2015, $32 million. To MIT and the Broad Institute Foundry to bolster DNA design and manufacturing. A facility at the Broad Institute, good old home of Georgie Church, the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, as well as MIT on its own, that aims to achieve the full potential of engineering biology, has received a five-year, $32 million contract from the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. more affectionately known as DARPA. So it was in 2015, five-year contract, takes us up to 2020. And this is with some of the lead scientists, not only working on CRISPR and other gene editing technologies, but also that head up this broad institute, which is the home, this and the Weiss Institute, home of biologically inspired engineering. This is the same Georgie Church that held that secret meeting at Harvard with 150 scientists about creating the synthetic human genome. These are the very same people, all financed by DARPA. Who wants to create the ultimate super soldier to be able to manipulate and control biology at a cellular level? We just read that. Pentagon's new factory, your DNA. Fast forward 5 years, and now again 5 years. I'm telling you, people, 2020, it's going to be an ugly place. A facility at the Broad Institute of MIT in Harvard and MIT that aims to achieve the full potential of engineering biology has received a five-year, $32 million contract from DARPA. The foundry, started by MIT biological engineering professor Christopher Voigt and Broad Technology Labs director Robert Nickel, is a result of a partnership between the Broad Technology Labs and the Synthetic Biology Center of MIT, of which Voigt is a co-director. The foundry enables rapid design, testing, and fabrication of large sequences of genetic information so that they can be assembled like building blocks for a myriad of medical, industrial, and agricultural applications. You know, how interesting, too, I mentioned it the other day, the Bayer-Monsanto merger. I don't know if that fully went through, but it sure looked like it was gonna. You know, Bayer has been in pharmaceutical for a very long time. Now here we're gonna pull this whole GMO company that's really good at manipulating plant cells. And they also bought that bees factory, the ones that were trying to save the bees. Well, remember, this at Harvard is where they have been messing around with the robo-bees as well as a part of the Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering. Guys, they got it all locked up. They got genetics all locked up. We got the federal government, the National Institute of Health, 23andMe, Connect My DNA, all wanting us to step right up for the cohort program now known as the All of Us program. $29.95, swab your cheeks, send in your DNA. Become part of the research project that will save us all, cure all cancer, and allow you to live forever. That is the payoff. That is the payoff to Big Pharma. That is us as the lab rats. So when they come up with these 21st century technologies, you will be one of the first. As you are in your last moments and you have one last chance to be able to step right up and save yourself, we'll give you a chance and you can go down in the record books. Let's see if I can do something here. Let's hope this doesn't screw things up. But we haven't played a clip in a while, and I think we just need to set the stage because we were talking a little bit of election, and I'm going to get back there because I found some stories. In the very beginning, when Trump's election was finally called, hold on, let me unplug my speakers. When his election was finally called, stock markets went down, but they rebounded the very next morning. Hold on here, let me answer. Ding, ding, ding. We will turn down the volume. Oh, I'm not hearing myself, so that's good. All right. So remember, too, you have this bill that is still sitting on the floor called the 21st Century Cures Act. We have investments from all across the board in this technology, including massive, massive investments by our military-industrial complex. I could guarantee you that much of our Congress are invested as well. We found out more than 50% of these guys are now millionaires. Don't think that that has anything to do with the fact that they don't insider trade because, you know, they got a lead on things. I don't think they ever ruled that as being illegal. So here we have now this new 21st century economy being fueled by precision medicine and big data and all these new technologies that come along with precision medicine. Here we have the sales pitch.
And I'm Diana DeGette.
And I'm a Republican from Michigan.
And I'm a Democrat from Colorado.
You know, we know that you've probably heard about the gridlock, dysfunction, and division in Congress for sure.
It's true. We do have our differences.
Let's hold on a second. Because this is the other scary thing. Right now, the Republicans own everything. This is something I was talking with yesterday with my family as well. This is the big scare about all of this. It's like, okay, Hillary Clinton did not get elected. That was one big reason I think that Trump got in. And that has a lot of these former and past potential crimes have been on the table. There were a lot of things that over the last few months were dumped out there. The people who even didn't want to look under the covers couldn't help but at least see the headlines and go, whoa, Clyde, there is a lot of controversy here. Maybe there is something to this. This person is very entrenched with those elite that control the world. And so let's go for someone who on the surface looks like they are saying F the system, but I'm not sure if that is going to be absolutely necessarily true, because Trump is a part of a system that is all about making money. And if 21st century medicine, precision cures, big data are all about where the new global economy is going to be, that means that his bets are going to have to be on horses in that game. If that's going to be the way, besides, he's thinking we're going to bring back manufacturing. I don't think manufacturing is going to come back like a big old steel plant. Did you guys see, speaking of steel plants, I caught yesterday afternoon, Bethlehem Steel in Lackawanna outside of Buffalo, right where I grew up. Not right there, but we used to drive by there when you were heading to the city. Went up in flames yesterday. They said that it was a light bulb that fell on some cardboard. Wink. I don't know, day after the election. Seemed kind of suspicious to me that thing's been sitting there for as long as I've been around. I don't even know if it was occupied. I don't know if it was being rented or not. But there was some big contamination there. When I was a kid, that steel production caused all the houses to be orange, which is pretty disturbing. And always smelled like a big sulfur fart. It was horrible when you drove through there. You had to plug your nose. So this thing burned down, 100 firemen there battling this big black burning blaze yesterday. And it made me think of Trump saying he's bringing back manufacturing. I don't think manufacturing is going to be manufacturing like we once knew as children. Manufacturing is going to be 21st century manufacturing like we were just looking at biopharma. You know, the biggest employer in Rochester is in the biotech industry, and I'm sure in Buffalo as well, they have a burgeoning, growing market that all started around cancer institutes. Wink, wink, wink. Isn't that how they're trying to sell all this new mad science gone mad gene therapy and 21st century cures and precision medicine? I'm telling you, people, this is all going to be all balls out moving forward. And now that the Republicans run everything, you know, these guys just said in this 21st century cures, oh, I'm a Democrat and I'm a Republican, and no, we don't get along on either side of the aisle, but this is so important that we will. Well, guys, now it is controlled Republican all the way. And if they want to pass something, I don't think that they're going to be able to stop it. Put on a seatbelt, because biotech stocks went crazy. I just saw after the election, and I'm going to try and get there before the end of the show. Let's listen to a little more of this clip, though, because I want to remind everyone on what this means. This hasn't been voted on yet. It is still an open bill. Maybe we'll look at that tomorrow as to what they're really calling for in there. But here, let's listen to a little bit more now. I will be quiet.
Fred and I don't agree on everything, but we do agree on this. America can be, it must be, the healthcare innovation capital of the world.
You know, you may not realize it, but together, we have already accomplished a lot to improve public health with a whole number of bills supporting medical research enacted over the last couple of years. I'm also proud to say that I helped lead the charge back in the 1990s, bipartisan effort, to double the funding of the National Institutes of Health.
Ding.
This is a good start, but now it's time to go bigger.
You know, in the 21st century, healthcare innovation is happening at lightning speed. From the mapping of the human genome to the risk of personalized medicines that are linked to advances in molecular medicine, we've seen constant breakthroughs that are changing the face of disease treatment, management, and certainly cures.
Health research is moving quickly, but the federal drug and device approval apparatus is still, in many ways, the relic of another era.
Ding.
We have dedicated scientists and bold leaders at agencies like the NIH and the FDA. But when our laws don't keep pace with innovation, we all lose out.
So if we want to save more lives, and we do, and keep the country the leader in medical innovation and the jobs here, we've got to make sure that there's not a major gap between the science of cures and the way that we actually regulate these therapies.
Ding.
That's why, for the first time ever, we in Congress are going to take a comprehensive look at what steps we can take to accelerate the pace of cures in America.
Ding.
Looking at the full arc of this process, from the discovery of clues in basic science, to streamlining the drug and device development process, to unleashing the power of digital medicine and social media at the treatment delivery phase.
All that is so exciting, but we know that we don't have all the answers. That's why we're asking questions first. We want to listen, and we are. We want to know how to close the gaps between advances in scientific knowledge about cures and the regulatory policies that are created to save more lives.
How can we make sure our best scientists spend more of their time in the laboratory discovering cures rather than just writing grant proposals?
And how can we foster even more collaboration using new technological resources like cloud computing or social media?
Are there new ways to improve the process of developing and approving new drugs and devices?
You know, our understanding of disease at the genetic level can certainly help reduce the costs and quicken the pace of clinical trials. That means patients potentially have faster access to those treatments. What do we need to make this happen?
Keep things moving and constantly improving. We must then capture the impact of these new drugs and devices and share that data with researchers, caregivers, and patients.
Working together, that'll ensure that the discovery process continues to move forward, constantly improving and learning.
And by this collaborative effort, asking these important questions and constantly challenging ourselves to always be doing more and doing better, we can put America on a swift trajectory to make the predominant diseases of today a thing of the past.
First discovery, then development, then delivery, and back again to discovery. We must never cease. Our efforts for 21st century cures is now underway.
Oh, it just gave me chills. Yeah, it's now underway. It's launched. This video was from 2014. That bill was introduced in 2015, I believe. It's been sitting there now, kind of waiting. It's going to get the FDA out of the way. We've seen really that this direct-to-consumer is rolled out. They are advertising all in the name of curing cancer and stepping up for, what do they call them, drug trials, phase 1, 2, and 3. So how is this going to be affected by the presidential election? Well, let's take a look. Right after the election, stocks tumbled, but they recovered. I was seeing the unthinkable has happened. This is out of Market Watch. President-elect Trump sends drug stocks up and other players tumbling. This was from yesterday, November 9th, 2016. Early morning election results upended healthcare stocks in Wednesday morning's trade, lifting drug manufacturers and sending health insurers down in a reversal of trends. Now, interesting, health insurers went down because Trump says he's going to overturn Obamacare. But drug manufacturing went up, and we are talking, this is an old school drug manufacturing. We are talking 21st century cures. Molecular biology and gene therapies are what we are talking about for new drug manufacturers. President-elect Donald Trump says that he has plans to, quote, repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, though his specific replacement plan remains unclear, fomenting uncertainty with health insurers. The president-elect's position on regulating drug prices similarly remains uncertain. Yeah, I bet that's that drug bill that Obama passed that was like a big Christmas gift with a red bow to all of Big Pharma. But still, Trump's victory over Hillary Clinton, who has been very critical of drug companies and was expected to pursue sector regulation, along with the Republican Party's congressional sweep, were a boon for pharmaceutical and biotech company stocks early on Wednesday. Biotech investors had previously been cautious about the sector, fearing that a Democratic sweep on Election Day would take prices down. But the Republican Party's triple win means, quote, the worst possible income for healthcare stock is a reality. And it would have tremendous implications across virtually every subsector, and we have no idea what will replace it, and that is for the health insurance. Repealing the Affordable Care Act would leave 20 million people without insurance and end popular provisions such as free birth control and young adults' coverage on their parents' insurance plans through age 26. But despite some hints during the campaign, the effects of a Trump presidency on health care is ultimately anyone's guess. Says that Republican political control does not necessarily mean that the healthcare regulatory landscape will return to a 2008-like reality. In addition, we believe that the ongoing debate in Washington over drug prices could be essentially over. Trump also has said that he would allow health insurers to compete across state lines, which I'm telling you, that's what I always said. You know, I don't see what we even had to socialize all this shit for and make all these conglomerates state by state. It should be national. All these big players, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and there used to be like an Independent Health and all these other ones. Let them all compete nationwide. All of them. Every single one. Let's do the same thing with auto insurance and homeowners insurance. Let them all compete. You know what? Everyone can have their own rate map. Some will be better at competing in areas than others. But let's make it a fully consumeristic society. Let's compete and have it online. Everyone can go online and punch in your numbers and get 32 different quotes. So it'll all be fucking fair. And you know what? The best value wins. I don't see why we have these monopolies everywhere to soak us all dry. It just doesn't make sense. So I'd be very happy. And, you know, hey, healthcare providers may be crying how that would hurt their stocks. But, hey, if you provide a good price, a good value for the money, the people always win. And, you know, you could even roll it out to other countries. Maybe you have another approved country that you have a subsidiary in. A lot of these big global corporate organizations do. You know, be able to provide discounts overseas, like in the UK or other EU countries. Just a thought out there. But I think, you know, we need to start looking at running this country as a business. But is that going to mean that we win or lose? In some cases, yes, if it was done in a case like this, making all these big conglomerates compete versus having ownership over a geographic area would be in our best interest. But whether or not our protections are in place, whether or not consumer protections are in place, or it is anything goes, they get rid of the FDA instead of strengthening watchdog groups over what is happening. And I mean, look at just what's happened with these big corporations and, let's say, dumping or pollution. Nobody's been watching that store. They get a slap on the wrist. What's going to happen with lawsuits when somebody gets genetically engineered accidentally or on purpose as part of a therapy? Now all of a sudden, Johnny's got a little twitch. And once every full moon, he starts bumping into walls. His teeth get a little long. I mean, I don't know. You know, we've discovered that a lot of this genetic therapy has issues with off-target potential side effects. And we're just kind of learning. You and I, anyone who steps up for this, is going to be 1.0 for this technology. Let's take a look at another story, though. So what's happening? Pharma and biotech shares soar as Trump wins and it comes pricing talks. Pharmaceutical and biotechnology shares soared, this is out of Reuters, on Wednesday, as Trump's presidential election calmed investor fears of tough action on drug pricing that has pressured the sector for more than a year. So they're afraid of Hillary Clinton tamping down on drug prices, but apparently not on Donald Trump. On Wednesday, the stocks were also fueled by the defeat of a California ballot proposal aimed at reining in rising drug prices. So that lost as well, and California didn't know that. Clinton, quote, not being in the White House removes the notion of some sort of price controls off the table, says Tony Butler, an analyst at the Guggenheim Securities in New York City. From the perspective of the pharmaceutical, biotechnology, and generic drug stocks, the election went about as well as could be expected. Shares of Pfizer rose, Celgene jumped, and Mallinckrodt surged. European drug stocks also gained. Roche from Switzerland and France Sanofi both rose more than 5%, and the NASDAQ Biotechnology Index advanced about 9% and was on track for its biggest single-day gain in more than 8 years. Guys, this is kind of bad news for mad science gone mad, at least from our perspective. This means that it is full steam ahead. Biotech sentiment was also lifted by the prospect of a Republican-led legislation, ding, 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 to free up cash currently held overseas for tax reasons by large U.S. pharmaceutical companies. All right, because Trump said he wants to be able to bring down corporate tax. So companies move holdings back to the United States. Interesting. Analysts said this could pave the way for acquisitions in the sector as well. Biotech and pharmaceutical investors have been on edge since September of 2015 when Clinton tweeted about specialty drug price gouging. And over that time, NASDAQ-listed biotech shares had lost more than one-fourth of their value. Trump said less on the topic, but he has suggested support for information of cheap and support for importation of cheaper drugs. By the way, some of that drug importation as well as vaccine importation, look out, because those were coming from China. And advocated increased scrutiny over drug price increases and a bigger role for negotiation down the cost of medicine. Some Republican lawmakers have also seized on high drug prices in the last year, suggesting that the issue might not go away. But even with a Trump administration, we do believe there is an overall shift toward greater pricing scrutiny that could reduce our potential future revenues. But it was a big victory. I mean, they all say a little bit different. Barron's thinks it was a big victory. They're actually soaring. Seems odd because Trump wants to dismantle affordable care. But what is happening with the drug makers is that they have gone up. They make up a 60% weighting of the whole S&P Healthcare Index. I don't know, guys. I almost think that we are going to be looking at full steam ahead. And we have DARPA out there that has been enticing new biotech talent. DARPA's research arm is making a concerted grasp at biotechnology. And like I said, Trump is all for the war machine. And now that biotech has been declared a weapon of mass destruction, potentially, we really are going to continue down this path, all in the name of keeping us safe. I took a look the other day at the new office that DARPA created back in 2015 out of their Mad Science Division called the Biological Technology Office, more affectionately known as BTO. This is their little mission statement. From programmable microbes to human-machine symbiosis, biological technologies are expanding our definition of technology and redefining how we interact with and use biology. And if you scroll down to the different programs, we have some pretty interesting ones. The autonomous diagnostics to enable prevention and therapeutics, more affectionately known as ADEPT. The ADEPT program aims to create the technology base required to help medical professionals outpace the spread of natural or engineered diseases and toxin. This is some of these sensors that are going to be used biologically to be able to tell whether or not you're ill and provide you a shape-shifting immune system, some sort of controlling cellular machinery, they are calling it. And this is all under the DOD. There are about 50 other programs very much along these lines. Battlefield medicine on the fly, biochronicity, being able to control time on the body, biological control, robustness, and engineering living materials. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Thursday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
Ozzy's Cake.